You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Final hour has arrived on Good Friday. We mentioned that we would be talking to Archbishop Marino shortly, and we'll also take your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Earlier today, we had a conversation with Auburn's head football coach Hugh Freeze as the Tigers get ready for the first spring game under the new coach.
For sure, it's been a whirlwind, and obviously trying to catch up with some of the programs that are doing it at the elite level in this conference is you consumes pretty much every bit of your waking moments in trying to do that. But it's also been it's been really fun for my family to all be reunited here on the plains, and I already have one daughter that lived here, and now the other two have joined and their husbands, and so Jill and I are thrilled to have them, and we're closer to our parents also, which is very nice, and they're able to get down and see us a good bit here. So it's even though it's been extremely busy, and it's also full of optimism in my eyes and our staff's eyes with what this place can become again.
And let's talk about that, Coach, because it's not easy. You've been around some turnarounds before and have been very successful, to say the least. Where do you feel like you are, and what do you need to do to make it happen?
Yeah, obviously I haven't coached a game yet, but just trying to compare in my mind what I saw before I left this conference and obviously watching the games now of the teams like Georgia, Alabama, LSU, those guys that are in the discussions the last few years for the national championship or the SEC championship. I'm optimistic. I love the culture change that is starting to be seen in our locker room and on our practice fields. I love the way they're competing. But if you just stack up the depth charts, you would have to say that that we have a ways to go. But we've been there before, and I do think this is a place that you can fix that fast. People come to this campus, and they're attracted to this place. And we've got the right guys coming to campus as prospects. And I just think the 24 and 25 class will really tell the tale of our tenure here.
Coach Shefree's joining us. Coach, let's talk about the key position. There are a lot of important positions, but it starts at the quarterback position. Where are you, and what could you be looking around for in the future?
Yeah, I have seen improvement for sure throughout our 15 days or our 13 days to this point of spring practice. And there's times that I'm very encouraged and think that we can win football games with the quarterback room that we have. And are there still some inconsistencies, and some have some strengths and some have a few weaknesses? Yes. Are we always looking to improve? Here's the way I kind of phrase it to everyone, because you want to be very careful. These are our guys, and they're part of our family now, and so you want to believe and coach them like they're the guy, and you want them to sense that, and currently that is the case. But any coach that would sit on your show, Paul, and say that they're not in the next recruiting cycle trying to always improve their roster would not be telling you the truth. And, we're going to carry four scholarship quarterbacks every single year, and the next year we're going to try to recruit another one that's even better. And it's the same for every single position. And so the next recruiting cycle, whatever that is, we're always looking to improve and to provide competition. And that doesn't mean that the current ones wouldn't win that in the end. But I just believe competition is the only way that you're ever going to be at an elite status if you can create that within your own rooms, and it's you combine that with a great culture, then I think you've got the elements to be an elite program, and that's what we're trying to create here. And the only way I know to do that is through recruiting the type guys that are going to push one another.
And Coach, that portal window opens soon, and I realize it's easier to gauge once things settle down, but is that something that, I mean, I know you have to have your eyes open, but what are your thoughts on when this opens in a couple of days in relation to that position and other positions as well?
We're in the portal business, Paul, currently. We have to be, and I did, this will be the first experience that we've had with a spring portal, and I'm not real sure what that looks like. And, you know, you've got two different ends of the spectrum. You've got your own kids you have to worry about nowadays in roster management, and you also have your eyes open for ways that you think you can improve your football team. And so we're wide open to that part of improvement of our team through the spring portal, if that occurs, to where we think it's a good fit for us and it makes sense for our team. And there are a few positions that we certainly are trying to create more depth at that we need help. And so we're going to be looking. I just have no real way to judge exactly what that looks like until we go through it.
Coach, you made a lot of the news this week talking about spring games, and everyone has opined on it. For those who have not heard some of your thoughts, what are they, and are they realistic in today's world?
I had no idea that I was making national news by just suggesting that we have a scrimmage against another school as part of our spring practice. I'd actually like to do that in spring and one in fall also, truthfully. I think every other sport does it, Paul. I mean, I don't know of another. I know college basketball gets an exhibition game, and college baseball has fall ball, and I don't know that we get enough credit as coaches that we actually do like each other some, and I've heard things like, there's no way y'all could get together and do it. And, you know, like in our state alone, I'm really good friends with John Summerall at Troy and Trent Dilfer at UAB, Kane Womack at South Alabama, Rich Rod at Jacksonville State. I mean, we actually, you know, like those guys a lot. And even Nick and I like each other. And I know that's not a popular thing, but you know, we could honestly pick up the phone and formulate, hey, let's do it this way, and let's protect. I want you to protect our tailback and our quarterback or whoever, and get a lot out of it. And truthfully, I've actually said this before, even when I was back at Ole Miss and through my Liberty days, that I thought it was a good idea. And another reason would be just that I think college football has the capacity to give back to communities and to people that are suffering hard times. And I just think about in this state alone, you know, should us, Alabama, and the other programs we mentioned, plus the FCS programs and the Division II programs, whoever, if we all chose to adopt tornado victims or the Red Cross or orphan care or foster care or feed the hungry and stock every pantry and shelter in this state, what a difference we could make, you know, in one outing. And I certainly know that I'm not the most intelligent guy, and there's got to be probably a lot of things that people can poke holes in and say that is wrong with it, and they may be right, Paul. I don't know, but my gut, if you tell me I could scrimmage against another team instead of ourselves, where I only have 11 of my guys on the field at one time against their 11, and at the same time benefit some people in your community, you know, I would be for that, and feel like we could figure out how to navigate whatever the other issues are.
And that was our earlier conversation with Coach Freeze. We will take a short break now, and when we come back to help celebrate this holy weekend, we'll talk to Archbishop Marino and include your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we are back, and it's always great to welcome all of you back here on this very important day. We have spoken to Archbishop Marino often throughout these many years, most recently right before Christmas, and we welcome him again on Good Friday. Archbishop Marino, good afternoon, and thank you so much for making time for all of us.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Before we get started, we just followed Coach Freeze, and I used to joke with you often about your late father and our back and forth about Auburn football, so I think your dad would have been interested in what Coach Freeze had to say, but I also understand you have a very important relative who's celebrating with her Auburn compatriots, a very important moment.
Yeah, my niece Olivia is part of the Auburn equestrian team, and I think they just won the SEC championship and going to Florida next week to start competing for a national championship.
So that is fantastic.
Congratulations to Olivia and her, I guess you call them riding mates. I don't know what the phrase is.
I'm not about to disagree with you, Archbishop. That sounds good for me. Let's talk about where we are on the calendar, and it doesn't need too much description of the importance of today and of this weekend. And we would all be interested in you sharing your thoughts on this Good Friday.
You know, I was thinking today and also thinking of coming on the show, and the scene that gets my attention this year on this Good Friday is really what's the icon of Good Friday. There, the three crosses on Calvary, Jesus in the middle and the two thieves on either side, on both sides, and one is called a good thief in Christian tradition. And here's this guy next to Jesus, and he's quite aware of who he is and what he's done and what kind of life he lived. And he asked Jesus a favor at this last moment, and Jesus gives it to him, and he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The first reaction is, how can this be? It's almost scandalous that someone could get so much by saying so little. Just remember me. I think there are a couple of things in this account in the Gospel of Luke that the good thief, as he's known, after dialoguing with the other thief, then he turns to Jesus, and what's so interesting, he calls Jesus by his given name. He doesn't call him Lord, or he doesn't call him Christ, or he doesn't call him Rabbi, or he doesn't call him Master, he doesn't call him Teacher, all these titles that Jesus had in his life. He uses his given name, says Jesus. remember me. And that's very significant because this guy, he realizes this is his last chance. This is it. And he just gets to the point. And he reaches out to Jesus like a friend, appealing really to Jesus, the human heart of Jesus. And he says, save me. Remember me. By the way, he also knows what the word Jesus means. Jesus, the word Jesus means God saves. So he knows who he's next to. And that's precisely what Jesus is doing at this very moment. He's saving. He's completing this last moment of his life, the last moment of this thief's life. He is doing what he did his whole life, reaching out to the poor, the weak, the lost, the sinners. And he saves. And he says to this guy, today, this thief, today you will be with me in paradise. And the good thief, he doesn't bargain with Jesus. He doesn't say, well, you know, I lost a lot of opportunities. I lived a horrible life, but I had a few good things. He doesn't say, he doesn't bargain. He can't boast about anything because Jesus knows him. I mean, Jesus could read his heart like he reads our hearts even today. And he said, remember me. And then Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. And that word today is also important because, yes, that moment for him, but it's for us, it's today. It's any time we turn to the Lord and just say, remember. And I think that story of the crucifixion is so significant because I'm sure there are a lot of people every day looking for that chance. And all we have to say is, remember me, and we're given that chance and we're given salvation.
We will include your phone calls in a moment for Archbishop Marino. Archbishop, we've spoken to you so often on Christmas, which is a day of celebration and remembrance. But today, as you alluded a moment ago, and obviously Sunday, is so different. And as you have gone through your career and your life in talking to people, I realize this story that you've told has been with all of us since the day we were born. But how different is it when you communicate with people about this weekend than pretty much everything else on the calendar?
Well, it's definitely the weekend of hope, the weekend of opportunity, the weekend of rediscovering who we are in relation to God, in relation to Christ, in relation to our communities in which we live. It's the weekend of hope, and I think it's pretty obvious. If this had not happened 2,000 years ago, we would not be having this conversation today. This person of Jesus who lived on earth, for sure, if he had not died, but more importantly, if he had not risen, this would not be a discussion we'd be having today, because the 2,000 years since this happened, it seems to be as real and significant as it was 2,000 years ago, and that's why I wanted to emphasize that word today. It's a continuous thing, and it just like that, the thief on his side, just like those below the cross looking at him, the Roman centurion who was looking up, and, you know, he said, oh, truly, this was the Son of God. It happens to us today. It's the same exact reality that we read about in the Scriptures on this Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And that's what it is.
We want to include your phone calls, as we always do, with Archbishop Marino. And John starts us off in Louisville. John, you're on with your Archbishop.
I'm humbled. Good evening, Your Excellency, and happy Easter, and God blessings to you. And thank you for the message.
Thank you.
And I'm sending my prayers as well for the Holy Father and his continued recovery. I see he couldn't make Good Friday services today.
Yeah, I think the evening service at the Coliseum. Apparently, it's pretty cold tonight.
By the way, I had the privilege of going to Rome last fall, and I did take the three-hour tour of the Vatican, which, of course, includes the museum, the Sistine Chapel, and the St. Peter's Basilica. And the artifacts in the museum were amazing, and I'm still amazed at how large the basilica is. I think you need to invite Paul and his wife there soon.
Well, we talked about it.
We have. We were, not to get too far off the subject, John, but we were on our way when that interruption came a couple of years ago that we all try to forget.
Yeah, exactly.
I know there's a lot of other calls, and I'd love to discuss the clergy. I had a uncle who was a Vincentian father over in Philadelphia, and who was a daughter of charity, but I'll do that at Christmas. But I would request a prayer for Paul Feinbaum, his staff, and the callers, and more particularly a special prayer for my family and my son, Stephen, whose birthday would be today.
Wonderful. We'll do it Easter Sunday.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. God bless.
Be well. Pat is up next in Georgia for Archbishop Marino.
Thank you, Paul. Happy Easter, Archbishop, and thank you for that message. It meant a lot to me, and I'm thinking about it right now. And thank you for the prayerful intercession that you have made for my wife, Beverly. Paul shared your email with me, and it's important for me to thank you personally. I remember from my Baltimore catechism and from reading the Gospels, the question that Jesus asked, were there not 10 lepers, where are the other 9?
Well, thank you. And I hope the prayer gave peace and healing, whatever was needed. I remember that. Yes, I went back to Rome in January, and it took me a day or two to get over to the Vatican area. And I went into the chapel right there at St. Anne's Gate and lit the candle for you.
Your prayers have been answered, and thank you.
Okay, happy to hear that.
Thank you so much, Pat. Archbishop will continue with more phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We've got a couple of games tomorrow. Auburn at 2 and Vanderbilt at 6 p.m. Back to the Archbishop, and let's go to Augie next with Archbishop Marino. Augie, thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you. Buona Pasqua, Archbishop. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. Buona Pasqua. Thank you.
You know, one of the things that I think, of course, the greatest victory of the cross was the resurrection on Easter Sunday. But isn't it ironic that the empire that mandated Jesus's crucifixion and death was conquered and is now the seat of Jesus's church? I mean, I think it's more than irony that Rome is home to the Catholic Church. But the question I have for you, Archbishop, is the current state of religious affairs, not just in America, but across the world. It seems like, and there are reports that religion is at the lowest level it's been in years in terms of people going to church and practicing. and the current state of the world and also the U.S., what's your opinion on where we stand, and is the fact that we've retreated from religion the cause of many of our ills?
Yeah, you know, there's so many levels of faith. The primary level of faith begins, do you believe in God? And every human being asks that question or is confronted by that question. The question is, what God? And that's the basic question. Then the other question, the second question then, for at least looking at it from a Christian point of view, would be, well, okay, I believe in God, but do I also believe in Jesus as his son, sent into the world to save us, and all that that entails? And then the third level, do I believe in the church? And that's, I think in the first two levels, we can say that there, I would say a lot of people, great numbers of people, are okay with those two questions. But when it comes to the question of institutions, that's where the challenge is today. And I think we mentioned this in another program. All kind of institutions are being questioned today. We can look at our political situation, and not only in the U.S., but all countries. Do people trust institutions? And the church is an institution. It functions as an institution as well. And I think that's where the challenge is. Does the church bring the message as intended by the gospel, by Christ, by the Lord? The message of Good Friday and Easter. There's an article today in the Wall Street Journal. I couldn't read the whole thing because I think you have to buy to get into the whole article. But it's very interesting. And I have it here, just the title. Are many Jesuses, of course, I'm not sure if that's a proper word, but anyway, that's the title. It says, at a time of shrinking church membership, and that's what you're talking about, Jesus remains a uniquely powerful and popular figure in American culture. The great divide is over what he stands for. And many times that's when the institution comes in, how it presents Jesus, how it represents him. And the primary representation of Christ is found in the scriptures and the gospel. And the story today is the story of Jesus. His passion reveals really the absolute compassion of God. And that's what we have to present to the people, to one another, that Jesus represents the absolute compassion of God. And when we start going into other directions, I think that's where the questions arise.
Ellen is up next with Archbishop Marino. Ellen, good afternoon.
Hello, Archbishop. It's such a pleasure to get to talk to you, and I'm so lucky that I got in caller-wise to talk to you. And I know I've got to go really fast, so I just want to tell you that you're just so inspiring. And I know you only come on twice a year, but I called a family member today and apologized to them for the misunderstanding that we had. And you inspired me so much that I swallowed my stubbornness and called them to try to pull things together and make them amends. So I appreciate how inspiring you are. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome, and I'm so glad you took that step.
I just can't ask for enough, forgiveness, but I hope that this, I'm not an inspiring person at all, but I hope that telling me this, maybe might inspire other people to know that, we run out of time and anything could happen any day. and it's never too late to call and make amends with somebody and tell them how much you love them.
That's right. Yes, there's always, as long as we're breathing, there's always a chance.
Well, I know I got to go back, so I appreciate you, and thank you so much for being on the show. I wish you could come on more often.
Ellen, thank you. Thank you very, very much for sharing a story that I think all of us can relate to, Archbishop. That is so moving.
Yes, it is. It really is. And thank you for sharing that.
Let's continue. Cat Daddy is up next with Archbishop Marino.
Archbishop, I know that you are aware of what's going on in America and the world. Could you please lead us tonight, sir, in a prayer to Jesus that America and the world will heal the problems we face today? I know that's a lot to ask of you, but I know you could. Please, sir, if you could lead us in a prayer that will help us all in the world.
Well, we'll be praying for that. We have to, you know, we definitely have to pray for that, because sometimes it gets frightening when there's so much division, animosity, judgmental towards one another. I know Paul didn't want to say the word COVID, but you know, COVID taught us one thing, that we're in this boat together, and it won't move if we're not rowing in the same direction. And the same direction is the good of other people and helping society go forward. And that's the prayer we should be making, that we can work together to overcome all of these difficulties that we read about every day, and sometimes it can become very depressing and very, you can say, my gosh, where are we going? Well, today the story is we should be going towards that which is good, that which is holy, that which inspires. And that's the prayer. Okay, Daddy, okay?
Well said. Susie is up next. Susie is on with Archbishop Marino. Hello, Susie.
Hello, Paul. Archbishop,
it's Rhett.
Archbishop Marino, I am just absolutely blessed to be talking to you today. I listened to you last December, and your words were such comfort to me in my life. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee this weekend for my grandson's first birthday. And I went by the Covenant Church and said some prayers. And I would love for you to lift prayers for this community. Nashville has just been absolutely turned upside down over this. And then yesterday in the House, when several of the representatives were expelled. And it's just, they need your prayers. They need the prayers, Paul, of all of your callers in that. And to me, that would be great comfort if you could do that. And again, thank you for the blessings of listening to you today.
Thank you for your kind comments. And yes, well, the prayer is the prayer of the good thief. Jesus, remember us.
Dana is up next with Archbishop Marino. Dana. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, sir.
Hello.
How you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
We're doing well. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Mr. Bishop?
Yes.
My favorite book is the Book of Mark.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You're talking about the Gospel of Mark. You're talking about the Gospel of Mark, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir, I am.
Why do you like Mark?
Because there's not two thieves on the cross. One is a murderer,
mm-hmm.
and the other one is a thief.
Right. Well, yeah. Both condemned for terrible things that they did.
Right. And you know, that's where you get forgiveness. Matthew don't tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
Mark
is the easiest gospel to read. It's the shortest. You can probably read it within an hour.
with our Archbishop Marino. We have Chaplain Mack on with the Archbishop.
Hello, Archbishop. How you doing today?
Good. I'm doing well, Chaplain.
Yes, sir. I've been a chaplain to law enforcement for about 40 years, sir.
Oof.
And I started out in law enforcement and entrenched, you know, kept going and going to school and stuff like that and became a chaplain. And I think some of the things you said about learning to really help each other, finding that we're all in the same boat, especially during COVID, that we need each other desperately and we need to pray for each other, I think.
Right.
Probably my favorite book lately has been First John, about how to love one another. Really use God's love toward each other and nothing else.
Mac, thank you so much for that. Geraldine is up next. Geraldine, go right ahead. You're on with Archbishop Marino.
Hello, Archbishop. How are you doing, my saint?
Good. How are you, Geraldine?
I'm doing okay. First of all, I want to apologize because I'm going to ask you to pray for my husband, but there's so many people in the world that need help with the storms and Ukraine and everything. I'm asking you to pray for my husband.
Yes.
My dear loving husband, Joel.
Yes. What's his name, Joe?
Joel, J-O-E-L.
Joel, Archbishop.
Okay. I got it.
Joel from Georgia. Go dogs.
I sure will.
He had to have his thyroid taken out. And I know. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I know this is nothing compared to everybody else. But I just want some prayer. We keep on lighting candles.
Thank you, Geraldine. Archbishop, let me try to grab one or two more before we must run out of time. Kathy is up next. Kathy, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Archbishop. I'm so honored to talk to you. Our United States is just so torn apart with all. Who do we need to pray for? Who do I need to pray for to make it a better place?
What a question.
I mean, it's
we have to pray to the good Lord.
I think that's a good way to start. But
let's start right there.
I mean, people, you hear this, and I want you to address it in a couple of minutes before we run out of time. But we all are searching for something. Help us understand this better.
In terms of the situation in which we're living.
Exactly.
Well, yes. Prayer is part of the answer, but we're the second part of the answer. And I remember we used to always learn in theology class, pray as if everything depended on God, but do everything as if it all depended on you. So we all have to make an effort ourselves to make the situation in which we live better, whatever that means. And yes, prayer, absolutely. But also we have to examine our own selves, how we think, how we treat one another. Are we judgmental? Are my way no way? My idea is the only way. So there's a lot of things going on in each of us that could be made better in order that the atmosphere in which we live would be better.
We will take a short break here. Final moments with Archbishop Marino, straight ahead.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And we got a major home run hitter right there as the Gators are in Knoxville. That game is just moments away. Jeff is up next with Archbishop Marino. Hey, Jeff.
Hey. Hello, Jeff.
Yeah. John is up next in Alabama. Sorry about that. We don't have a lot of time, John. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Real quick, I just wanted y'all to know that when I was 15, I lost my brother on Christmas Day. He was 24 years old. And what you guys do every Christmas brings me and my family a whole lot of peace. So I just wanted to thank you for that.
Thank you.
And I wanted the Archbishop to, you know, a lot of times religion explains Jesus as a very exclusive God. When you read the scriptures, you find he's the most inclusive. I just wanted you to speak about that a moment, and I do appreciate you.
Thank you, John, very much.
That's exactly right. It's all inclusive. There's nothing. No one is out. There's no one excluded from the table, unless you exclude yourself, of course, or unless you're involved in situations that are difficult to be included. But for sure, I mean, that's the story today. It's the ultimate example of everything that Christ did while he was living. He searched out for all of those, especially those who were excluded in society, especially the poor, the abandoned, the sick, the misunderstood, those who had been accused, whatever it was. That was his ministry. That's why he came. And to the last moment of his life, he was still including and bringing people into paradise, as we saw in the story of the good thief.
What a beautiful way to end our Good Friday conversation. Archbishop, thank you, as always, for everyone for making time and for gracing us with your message. Be well.
Thank you, and everyone have a blessed Easter, and thank you for having me, Paul. It's always a pleasure.
We will see you Monday.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.